Hello, this is Scott Feldman with Earbits Online Radio. I'm here with LA locals Native June, who are fresh off something like a two-week tour promoting their newest release, which is Ocean to Sunset.
That's correct.
Thanks for coming by, guys.
Our pleasure.
Glad to be here.
Do me a favor, introduce yourselves and what you play really quickly.
So I'm Martial and I play guitar.
My name is Gabe. I sing and I play the guitar.
My name is Tristan. And I play bass.
And Jake is in here and he plays the drums.
He sure does.
Before I get into music things, I need to know...
Let's not talk too much about music.
Yeah, we can stay off of music the whole night if you want.
We're kind of bored with it, to be honest.
To be honest, the most important thing to me is to know which of you three geniuses crafted... If you've ever wanted to knock out the high school bully on graduation day and make out with his girlfriend at the podium, Native June is the soundtrack of your life. Who writes that copy?
I think that was you, Watson.
I think it's everybody.
Yeah. I think I actually came up with that phrase.
It's pretty damn good, I gotta say.
Thanks.
But do you realistically stand behind it as the sound of your music? Is that what you're trying to get across?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah, it is.
We call ourselves Grit Rock. You know?
Which means what exactly?
Which means we're gritty, sort of indie, alternative, post-punk, and, you know, basically what we do is we go up to the high school bully and punch him in the face and steal his girlfriend.
Tell me about your last tour and the record you were promoting and whether you feel you were successful on this tour and did what you set out to accomplish.
The last tour we were on, it's in promotion for our new CD, album, EP, Ocean to Sunset, which we released at the Viper Room on September 23rd here in Hollywood, California. Mm-hmm. So we took off to the Midwest to perform for the good people of America.
And how did they take to your music?
Well, they took very well to it, actually.
That's good.
I think it really hit a note.
And I think it's worth commenting that I grew up mostly in Michigan.
I grew up in Indiana.
Okay, so there are some Midwest roots.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's some definitely...
Which comes across, I think, in the music.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, we kind of feel we're sort of, an American...
Well, I don't know that it's Midwest, but there is an Americana element that's
exactly
layered underneath.
And it's probably very much like integrated and born and bred from us growing up in those towns. You know? Gabe and I actually started recording this EP about 3 years ago. So this album has been 3 years in process and has gone through... I mean, I think we lost count. So I'm like 6 or 7 studios, gone through a lot of producers, but finally ended with a producer we're very proud of, Tony Maserati, who's produced a number of Grammy winning, and he's also won 2 Grammys himself.
So. How does a relatively small band from LA get the attention of Tony Maserati, who is ridiculous?
Prostitution.
What's that?
Prostitution.
Okay, so which of the three of you had to do...
Gabe Watson.
I think this is the best answer. we can thank our record label, Planet LA Records, for actually meeting Tony. I think it was at the Billboard conference in 2010. And Tony had just arrived in LA. He had just moved here from New York. And apparently, Mark from Planet LA, they had a really good conversation. And Mark said, hey, why don't you check out this little indie rock band called Native June? And Tony took the CD and said, thank you, Mark, in a very nice fashion like he does.
Was it hard to convince Tony Maserati to do
this
record?
It was the song Saturday Night, which hooked him. Okay. That was the song that he really liked, and that was like the major one that he produced for us.
Okay.
And that was like, you know, the single off the album. That's the one they were really pushing, and that's the one that he had the biggest sort of impact on.
This is the story I got. Mark gave Tony the album demo, and Tony took it and went back to his studio. A week later... Mark called the studio, and Tony's manager answered the phone and said, who the hell are you? Mark said, I'm Mark Wynn from Planet LA Records. I'm calling about our band Native June and trying to get Tony's interest in producing this band. And she continued to say, well, we don't know who you are, and you can't afford us.
and we said, damn straight.
And then she hung up the phone. Mark called back 2 hours later and gave her the same spiel. I'm Mark from Planet LA, and you know, we're really interested in Tony producing this album. He showed some interest at the Billboard conference, and then she went on to tell him, well, we can refer you to some other people that you can afford.
Oh, 759.
And then she hung up the phone again. Well, that was the end of that. Well, evidently Mark got, or I'm sorry, Tony heard that his manager, Duffy, heard that she hung up on Mark twice and was,
less than pleased.
Not not very receptive to hearing our pitch. So he went ahead and listened to the CD after he heard this from his manager, and he heard Saturday Night, and evidently he fell in love with the song, and he later told me he thought it was a hit song.
It's amazing.
That's why.
To hear that from Tony Maserati,
yeah,
who's had legitimate hits.
Yeah.
So he listened to the song. He went down and told Duffy, give me Mark's number. Called Mark back and said, I want to apologize for the way my manager was acting. And I'd like to meet with these guys. So a week later, we went to Burbank and to Tony's new studio. And he was playing Saturday Night when we walked in. And he shook our hands. And, you know, it was... You know, we
that
were taken back.
That is an awesome feeling, I'll tell you what. That guy has worked with so many cool people, both in New York and stuff, and just, like, hearing his stories about who he's worked with, and everyone from Lou Reed to Blondie to Jason Mraz to Lady Gaga, right. Just, like, the whole spectrum. So we're really, like, happy. And
some hip-hop, too. Like, Biggie. He's all over the place.
All over the place.
If you listen to the bass.
So, yeah. No, there is a ton of low-end on your record, actually. You released this on what, September 20th?
23rd.
Okay, 23rd. Yep. In this musical economic climate, what does it actually mean to release a record? You guys do have some label support,
yeah.
So you're way ahead of a lot of the game, but what does it actually mean to put out a record?
I mean, good question. This day and age, distribution is really taken care of, right? So, you know, label supplies, like promotional help, as well as like getting shows, getting us things like Tony Mara, good producers and whatnot, you know. So for us, we've actually decided to embrace the fact that music is pretty easy to get a hold of, you know, with Groove Shark and
certainly.
Spotify, etc. So we've made both our first album and this one available for free on our website. And we'd rather that we have new fans people can really listen to and appreciate the music and come and enjoy our shows than try to like squeeze them out of the 99
sure.
cents or whatever, you know. So for us, release was a really big headlining spot at the Viper Room.
Right.
And the fact that we could say, you know what, it's official, it's out there, it's out in the world. Go ahead and listen to it on all these websites, download for free. And here's a hard copy of the CD if you want to watch us eat. It's $5.
So tell me about the label. It sounds like they've done a ton for you guys.
Yeah. Gabe and I have been playing together for almost 6 years now. And we've seen numerous iterations of Native June. And we're really proud of the one we have now. And I would say Planet LA has done a lot for it. So it's almost the 1 year anniversary, almost to the day that we signed with them, you know, in October 2010. So they have done, you know, they've taken us on tour to South by Southwest. They've got us Tony Maserati. They've promoted us X, Y, and Z. They've got us sponsorships with such companies as Rev 7, Blue Microphones, you know.
Gibson.
What's that? Gibson. Yeah, we played the Gibson Guitar Showroom in LA. We're scheduled to play it in New York on November 4th. So they've really worked well with us, and we've really enjoyed the relationship mm-hmm. that we've had with them.
You just came back from tour. You guys did South by Southwest earlier in the year, have a new release, so it's been a pretty big year. Year's coming to a close. What's for the future? South by Southwest next year?
Yeah,
or?
Definitely.
Yeah, and we're planning on touring Europe next summer, probably July and August, mainly England and France.
Mm-hmm.
We want to record another album.
In the next year, you guys
yeah,
want to do another record?
Probably before the tour,
if
possible.
Yeah, we're actually looking at studios right now to go in December, the first and second week of December.
Oh, wow.
And really just, you know, this last album took 3 years to record, and just it was so spaced out. What we'd like to do this time is really go in, lock ourselves into a studio for 7 straight days with Jake, Marshall, Gabe, and I, and just knock out. We already have like a third album written.
The material's there. You just need
absolutely,
to.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you say that like you kind of semi plan on self producing it.
Someone taking care of it.
Yeah,
you still think you'll
yeah,
have
like,
a producer in there with
yeah.
you. Okay.
You always need a good
someone close though. Someone
sure.
we already know.
Sure.
I definitely think we want to write. We, you know, one thing we always do is we write our own material. We collaborate. Of course, we all write different parts on our own, and we come together in our rehearsal spot and we write a song.
Right.
So I think that's the first process that, you know, we want to do organically, and from the beginning to the end of the song, write it ourselves, and then go in and record it, and whether we have a producer there at the time or not. We'll go back and edit and maybe change things later. But, you know, sometimes the first recording you do and your first ideas are sometimes and often the best ones. So,
sure.
You know, once you start messing with the ingredients in the pudding, you know, starts changing the taste.
Sure. Pudding ends up tasting like salad.
Salad pudding.
Did somebody just say salad pudding?
Yeah, dude. If you mess with ingredients too much, the pudding tastes like salad.
Now, you guys are...
That's an English phrasing.
You guys are a four-piece rock band, right? Yes. Like bass, drums, guitar, vocal, yeah. Keys at times, right?
Yeah.
Which is relatively standard from an old-fashioned point of view.
Exactly.
But I was still expecting when I listened to the record, perhaps to hear something that came out of a silver laptop, which... there was none of. No. You ever feel the need to...
We like the classical form of it, yeah. I guess.
I mean, the Clash are a huge influence on us, you know, mm-hmm. and they stuck to the true rock roots.
All the 60s, 70s, yeah, all exactly. They didn't use that.
It just, like, this day and age, man, it's so overproduced. There's so much electronics going on, you right. know. There's not a lot of bands really sticking to just the pure rock sound. And the only synthesized sound we have going in is an organ. And right. that's not really synthesized, you know, so...
It seems even our songwriting is getting even more simplistic, mm-hmm. not in a bad way, but more rock and roll as it used to be.
Yeah.
And that goes with what you're saying, I think.
What was it like releasing your first record without any help? You had no label at the time, right? Yeah. No management. Is it day and night going from doing this all yourself to having somebody
pretty
do
different.
This? Yeah.
With the first album, right, Whiskey and Walnuts, you know, of course, we didn't have a label, and we didn't know a lot of things then that we know now.
I had actually only been in the band for about 3 months when we went into recorded that. So I was, like, fresh in. I think Gabe even wrote the lyrics to one of the songs on the way to the studio, you know.
We recorded the first album in Compton. We were in the middle. Essentially, we were in the middle of the ghetto, and... this little Asian guy named Gremlin had a very high-tech recording studio in the middle with almost a fortress built around.
Yeah. The guy had like 20 guns, dude.
It's like for real? Though?
Yeah, semi-automatic weapons. Like guns that shoot bullets.
With lasers. And there were there's laser security with cameras.
I just want to tell the listeners really quickly that the guitar player got bored and left to go get more of my fine scotch.
Yeah, he's going to go.
I just want to make that note.
And we'd like to say thanks for the fine scotch.
It's
making this interview.
It's my absolute pleasure.
A plus.
Speaking of fine scotch, I spent most of my morning watching... I spent most of my morning watching... some homemade videos from your South by Southwest tour earlier this year.
Yes, really stoked to say, really proud to say that all those videos, if you go to nativejune.com, all that stuff's online, was made by Florian. He was a filmmaker, he's a friend of Marcel's. He flew over from France to go on tour with his film, the whole thing. He did the exact same thing for our last tour. So if you watch the website, we're going to have some more documentary type of episodes that... display the craziness of what it's like to be on the road
with Native June.
With Native June.
Well, I mean, from the glimpses that you show the public, it looks pretty classic, debaucherous, rock and roll.
No.
Drink from, like...
We're good people.
From noon. No, I'm drinking with you right now. I still think I'm a good person.
Yes.
Is tour everything you guys expected it would be?
Everything we love, man. It's playing music, traveling, it's partying hard, it's poetry, it's painting nice pictures of flowers, it's long walks on the beach.
On this last tour, did you guys play a show every day that you were out, or did you have some downtime?
A couple of days off, but almost every day.
We had one driving day from Chicago to Louisville, Kentucky.
And were you guys driving yourselves, or was tour manager with you?
What was cool about this tour is really it was just the four of us and the filmmaker. So we were able to just really connect. And shall we tell the van story?
Tell the van story.
I'm gonna tell the van story. So we booked a minivan, which was about $350 a month for the week or something like that, and. We just kind of figured, you know what? We're just going to suck it up. We're going to figure it out. We're all going to pile on top of ourselves. So we arrive in Indianapolis, Ace Rentals or whatever, some small...
We love you, Ace Rentals.
Yeah, no, seriously, we love you. And you're going to find out in about 15 seconds. We arrive at Ace Rentals, and Gabe Watson is who rented it. You know, Gabe Watson being...
I definitely know Gabe Watson.
Gabe Watson? Gabe Watson knows Gabe Watson.
Does he wear a Lacoste hat sometimes?
He does. On occasion.
I like it, actually.
While interviewing with the best website ever.
I don't know if it's Lacoste. I think it's Penguin.
No, it's Lacoste.
It's
Penguin. You guys are getting off track.
Long story short,
the van story.
We go to get the car, and the car guy's like, oh, you've already picked up your minivan. Dave Watson from Columbia Records, right? No, we're Gabe Watson from Native Jew and Planet LA. Well, what are the chances that Dave Watson in the music industry had rented the same minivan and picked up like an hour and a half before?
So someone got your van.
Exactly.
Well, Not just someone. Dave Watson. Gabe Watson's van.
How come Dave Watson from Columbia had to get a minivan?
Listen to the end, man. It's good luck.
So anyway, we'd like to give a very sincere thank you to Dave Watson, Columbia Records, because you got us a free upgrade from a shitty little minivan to a 12-seater.
I like it.
12-passenger Ford.
It was the difference between sitting on each other's laps and being able to just lie out and enjoy the ride.
Were you guys sleeping on the bus, or were there hotel rooms?
It's funny you should say that. This tour is called the...
The Floor Tour.
And we'll explain that now. Basically, we just slept on the floor.
The floor of what, exactly?
The floor of a multitude of, a plethora of places with which we resided.
Was this one of those tours where you call on friends, hey, can we sleep here?
Like I said, both Gabe and I are from the Midwest, so we just called on all our friends. We begged, borrowed, and stole homes, apartments.
In Chicago, we were there in Chicago for 3 days. Tristan has a friend who works for property management company of some sort.
He actually owns it, yeah.
I've seen some pictures. Looked like a nice condo.
It was really nice. It was in the middle of the projects.
And it also didn't have any furniture. We're talking no shower curtains or anything. So as you can imagine, we slept on the floor. That's right.
The floor tour.
Hence the reason our drummer's sick and can't be here today.
Everyone actually sounds a little sick, as I said earlier. When did you guys actually get back from said tour?
Sunday night.
Yeah, about midnight.
Do you have any local shows upcoming?
Yeah. We're playing on the 24th at the Hard Rock. We are the first local band ever to play the new Hard Rock in Hollywood Boulevard. Thank you very
really?
Much. That was a little while ago. Yeah, that was us. Thank you. But we're playing it again on the 24th, or again. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. And then we're playing at the Mez Bar for a Halloween show on the 29th.
Where's the Mez Bar exactly?
It's downtown. It's in a really schwanky hotel.
Alexandria?
That would be the hotel.
Yeah. So, and then New York in November, was it?
November
or at the end
4th,
of this month?
November 4th. Then the recording studio, December.
We're actually doing a music video for our song, Should Have Saw It Coming, in November.
We're doing that as well.
Well, good track off this last record,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's actually one of my favorites.
I enjoyed it very much as
well. Yeah, cool. See that little mandolin you got hanging on the wall? That's what kicks off the song.
And who played it?
That would be our first guitarist, Matt Vannucci. Good job, Matt.
I know we didn't discuss this earlier, and everyone's a little bit sick, but... Seems appropriate. There's no drummer. Can we do some sort of acoustic performance here?
We'd love to, yeah.
There are guitars all around?
I think we should play Should Have Saw It Coming. You've got this steel guitar over here. Cheers, lads. Here's the rock and roll.
All right. Here's the rock and roll.
You guys live a great life.
You're not kidding.
Yeah, hey, we gotta hurry up. My mom's outside.
Here we go.
It's gonna be tough to sing drunk. Drunk, I mean
it's,
sick.
It's gonna
Did
be,
I say drunk? I meant
it's,
sick.
It's gonna be drunk to sing tough.
You ready?
Go right by. I knew what I know now, over 20 years ago, that I would not have to act like a rock star in a room full of astronauts on drugs. I should have known them. Oh, I should have saw them coming. I should have swung when I swerved. Don't drink, don't joke, don't smoke, don't! Hey kids, don't you feel so alone? Let's go. Turn on the radio, knick-knack. Paddywhack, passed out back the Cadillac. Don't drink, don't joke, don't smoke, don't! Hey kids, don't you feel so alone? Shut up and rock and roll! I should have swung when I swore.